from the Minnesota Superior Sound Studios. It's Wisecrackin' with Winter.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a day that ends in Y. So, of course, it's time for Wisecrackin' with Winter. Brought to you by your friends over at Minnesota Superior Sound, Minnesota's self-acclaimed number one DJ service. Hire them for all your wedding needs, or bar mitzvah needs, or bat mitzvah needs, or basically any time you need music. Go to MinnesotaSuperiorSound.com and hire them. Well, it's good to have all you guys back here in the funhouse. I've missed you.
Right.
I really have. My life has been empty without you. Today could be the biggest show I've ever done. I've said that on all 35 other episodes I've done. But this is probably the biggest and the best. Being that it's January, I thought we'd talk about ghosts.
I don't want to do that.
Because that works. It works for me. I'm a big Halloween guy. And I thought I'd mix it up and do something different. Kind of get away from the sports and get away from the pop culture bullshit. And get into something I've always shown a casual interest in ever since Ghost Hunters, the Sci-Fi Channel, or, you know, really since 1984 when Ghostbusters came out, would be ghost hunting or ghost busting, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. So I got on Twitter and I found myself an expert, and his name is Matt Gesso, and Matt Gesso is a paranormal expert. Warning. Everything that we're discussing in this interview, do not attempt to try this shit yourself, okay? Don't go get your grandmother's Ouija board and run into a haunted house and try any of this shit. Because I don't know what's going to... I don't know anything about this, and that's why we have Matt Gesso on the phone, and we're going to try to figure out just what in the fuck is going on in the spirit world. Matt.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the fun house. It's good to have you here.
Thank you. I want to say right away, I'm not an expert.
What?
And be careful of anyone that proclaims that they are an expert. Run far away from those that say they are. Some may know more than others, but an expert I am not.
What the hell?
Warning. Everything discussed in this interview, all the information is provided by two non-experts.
Yeah, no shit.
Is our listener discretion is advised. Okay? We're not experts. So, Matt, what in the hell ever possessed you to go out and start hunting ghosts?
When I was a kid, my uncle sat me on his lap, and we watched The Exorcist.
Well, that's good quality time spent.
Yeah. Oh, and I didn't want to watch it. And I needed to go to the bathroom really, really bad. And the bathroom was all the way upstairs. And I didn't want to go up there all by myself. And so I proceeded to pee myself all over his lap. And he made me go sit out on the patio all by myself for the rest of the show. I thought to myself, well, this is not fair. And I decided that, you know what? Well, I'm going to figure out what this is, and I'm going to make sure that this doesn't scare me anymore.
So as a result of pissing your pants,
yes,
you decided to become a Ghostbuster.
I did.
That's an interesting story. I thought this was going to get really bad, like your uncle took you up to the bathroom and something terrible happened. And
right.
As a result,
you decided
to become a Ghostbuster.
No.
Okay.
No, and that same uncle was, in fact, himself became a paranormal investigator and wrote several books. And I read those books, and my children did as well. And I was a big fan of his. And so I studied it for a long time, and was just a researcher for a long time before I stepped out into the... You know, going into a dark house or making that phone call. But, yeah, I didn't want to pee my pants anymore.
Jesus Christ.
I was tired of that.
So,
and, you know,
if somebody out there is thinking about becoming, we'll just call you a paranormal investigator, because I think that that fits. What equipment do they need? Do they need to go out and get a digital recorder? Do they need to go out and get the sensitive equipment that picks up electricity in the air and that sort of stuff? Do they need to go out and get a proton pack? What's going on here, Matt? I mean, what kind of budget are we looking at?
Well, it is a very expensive hobby. We do take it quite seriously, but it's an expensive hobby, and you do need a personal recorder. It's important. There are things that can be detected with an audio device that you can't hear with the naked ear, and a proton pack. If you can get a hold of one, Mike, let me know. Yeah. I would love to get a proton pack. The other type of equipment that you would need would be a K2 meter.
Oh, yeah. See that on Ghost Hunters.
Ghost Hunters is quality television.
Is that still on the air?
It is. And the reason why it's still on the air is it's not one that show isn't necessarily junk TV, which a lot of the other ones are.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why. A lot of the shows on TV, they go out and any tiny little bump in the night, you see a guy. Let me give you an example.
Are you talking about Ghost Adventurers on the Travel Channel? The guy with the
I'm not gonna mention any of them by name specifically.
You know, I'm gonna do it because I've seen Ghost Adventurers.
You can.
And those guys are always like jumping at like the slightest sound on their show on the Travel Channel. Any slightest sound is a ghost. Any slightest sound is the devil. I'll go ahead and put it out there, and it's compelling television because they do such a good job of playing it up. But you're saying Ghost Hunters is a lot more realistic, right?
They're more realistic, and here's the thing. You have to be able to back up what you hear and see with one of your devices or one or more of your devices to make it credible. Otherwise, what you've just had is a personal experience. That's all you've had.
Okay.
And that's not to say that a personal experience is not a personal experience. It still is, but it's not necessarily backed up by anything near scientific.
Gotcha.
So if you see your grandmother at the bottom of the stairs, did you see your grandmother? Yes. But if we're able to capture that on a camcorder with an infrared on that, now we have credible evidence. You see the difference? That's the difference. Now,
I was basically we need to back up a personal experience with some sort of device that we have in order to
corroborate that. You got to prove it.
Well, in some sense of the word, yes, we do. And too many times nowadays, as you were talking about, let me give you a for instance, and it's even happened on some of the greatest shows. People will put themselves in a position, and sometimes it's pushed by the producers of the television shows.
So this shit is scripted. You think it's scripted?
It's not scripted, no, but it's the producers of the shows want it to be very spooky, and they want it to be very dark. One of a really well-respected parapsychologist, Lloyd Auerbach, back in the 80s, was doing in-home investigations, and he was told by some producers, I'm sorry, we just can't make this scary enough. And that was prior to you know, the infrared, you know, before we were able to capture video images in the dark. And
so before the boom of all this paranormal,
yeah,
whatever, you know,
I call him paranormal before paranormal was cool.
Right. Right. So fast forwarding to now. So, you know, this guy, you know, he was a scientist or whatever, and it wasn't anything really scary about it, but they just wanted to make it scary. So that's why the shows on now are kind of had that gloomy atmosphere.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell ad space.
It is. It's driven a lot by the explosion of interest in the paranormal.
Okay.
And these people put themselves in a position where they are seeking paranormal activity, and they find it, and yet they will drop all of their equipment and run away.
Pussies.
When they see or hear something.
Pussies! How come they're not sitting there and sticking it out? You stick it out, don't you, Matt?
I do. But the first thing I do before I even would come in contact with that is I would ask a couple of questions before I even I heard a sound a couple weeks ago.
Okay, let's set this up. Let's take our time here and set this up. So roughly how many paranormal investigations have you done?
About 20, I'd say.
20.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell us about, I don't know if it would be your most frightening one. Is that the right term? One of your most interesting, frightening experiences. Just set us up. Take us from the beginning all the way to the end.
Of the most frightening ones
that
I have.
Tell us a ghost story so I can sell ad space, Matt.
So, okay. Okay. All right. Well, this would take place. We started in a home, and then we went outside.
Okay.
So there was activity in a home, and
what kind of activity?
There was lights turning on and off by themselves. I always, myself personally, I'm always right away instead of freaking out, and I want to know where everyone that has come is located at the time. Where is everyone?
Do you have a big team? Do you ask the owners of the home to leave before you go in?
No, as a matter of fact, I prefer they stay.
Oh, okay.
That's a recipe for disaster if they're not there. You really don't want them to not be there. You don't want accusations of things being taken.
Sure.
Plus, you want them there to back up any. Is this similar to what you've experienced before? What we're experiencing now, is this similar to what you've experienced before?
Right. So we got lights turning off and on.
Yeah, that was happening, and I made sure that everyone was present and accounted for, and they were. So that was happening, and immediately there were dogs barking in an outbuilding, which happened to be an old barn.
So, yeah, it's a farm. So didn't you immediately suspect it was just maybe a power surge or something like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. 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 First thing I suspect is faulty wiring.
Okay.
Or someone in the home that I didn't expect to be in the home. Or someone knew that we were coming out and maybe playing a trick on me.
Gotcha.
So, I'm not a skeptic per se, but I don't jump to conclusions either. So, I immediately began to ask questions. But the dogs barking, animals have a different sense, and that can help. So,
great hearing.
We
smell.
Great hearing. You got
What were the dogs barking at? Were they barking at something in the house?
Didn't know
outside
at the time.
House?
Didn't know at the time. So we asked the dogs, do the dogs normally bark? And you could tell with the owners, this wasn't normal behavior. They even stood to their feet as if it was abnormal behavior. So we proceeded outside with the equipment. They were standing away from this building. And at first I thought it was old spooky barn and right. an animal got into it.
Ghost
period.
Cow.
Plain and simple, right?
Yeah.
In fact, it was a newer building, and it was locked up.
Was it built over a pet cemetery?
Bing, bang, bing.
Good question. that I don't know.
Okay.
We got the keys to get in there, and when we got into the outbuilding, everything was absolutely normal about that building, and
just tractors, equipment,
no,
things
just,
like that.
Just a couple of cars.
Oh, okay.
Just a couple of cars in there,
right.
And then the dogs started barking again.
Uh-huh.
This time they were barking towards the house, and so we, confused, looked back towards the house, and the lights were left on in the house.
Yeah.
And when we looked back towards the house, right before all the lights went out in the house, it appeared as if there was some, you know, people, maybe just the forehead of a couple of people in just about every window.
Shut your mouth.
Bullshit.
I'm not kidding. Just
really?
About every window. And then all the lights went dark. So we went back towards the house.
Oh, whoa. Now, wait a second. So you're outside with the owners.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's outside at this point because we're thinking, all right, there's activity in this outbuilding.
Right.
And everybody's out there now.
Okay.
Yep.
So you turn around and you notice all this, okay? You think
turn around,
you see.
Everybody saw. Everyone saw.
Everybody saw the same thing. And
everyone
you guys
saw the
still
same
went
thing.
Back in that house? I would be heading
except
for the hills.
The only thing is,
fuck it.
The dogs would not go within 50 feet of the house.
The dogs were
the
over
dogs
it.
Would not go within 50 feet of that house.
It's a wrap. The dogs are done. They're not going anywhere near there. So you're heading back
they're not
in.
Going. We're heading back. We went back into that house. The light switches were all turned on.
Uh-huh.
And we just turned them off and then back on, and they all came on.
Right.
And on where we saw the you know, the what would be a kind of a forehead, and I can't necessarily say it was the shape of a person. It was somewhat similar. There wasn't, not on every window, but on a couple of windows, there was a fog-like, kind of like if you blow on cold glass.
Right.
The heat was on in the house. There was a residue there.
You know,
on there.
Okay, I got a quick question. You know, if you blow on a cold window, you get that foggy residue, and then
exactly
like when you're kids, you write stuff on there. Sometimes,
yep.
Did anybody write, hire Jesse Duncan of Keller Williams Premier Realty? Was that on the window?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
There was a business card on the table that said that.
Really? That is crazy.
There's a business card on the table with that on there.
Define.
But no, so that was early on and I'm not, you know, I'm not very deep into a career. If you look at the careers of the people that have been doing this, I'm very early in my career.
Do you get paid?
And
do the homeowners pay?
No, this is a zero pay. This is all all on you. This is to truly to help people that are just scared. And
so
truly,
Matt Gesso's ready to put his life on the line for free. Mm-hmm. You're a man. Yep. You're a man's man. Haven't you ever worried about getting possessed by an evil entity?
I get asked that a lot, and there are precautions that I take before I do anything when it comes to the paranormal to protect myself that keep me from harm. And when it comes to possessions, when it comes to demonic, you know, stuff, I don't deal in the demonic. If I find out that what I'm dealing with is demonic,
how do you really know if it's demonic or not? Do you pull out the Ouija board?
Yeah.
Ask a few questions. How do you figure it out?
I would like to pass this along.
Okay.
When you started the show and you said, don't pull the Ouija board out, you didn't know how right on you were about that. In my opinion, that's not something to play with.
Really? I'll tell you a story. How about that?
Absolutely.
Briefly. When I was a child, growing up on the mean streets of Minneapolis, my family had a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like maybe 13 or 14 years old. I took this Ouija board up to my room, and I was alone. And I played with them before, you know, with friends. And you're always skeptical because you think your friend's moving it, you know? Nobody trusts each other when you're doing the Ouija board. But I decided, well, I'll set the damn thing on my lap. I'll put my hands on the triangle, and I'll ask it a question, and I'll wait. And I'll find out if this is bullshit or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, being that I was a pussy, I did it during the day. So, here I am up in my room. And I asked it a couple of basic questions like, what is the likelihood that I'm going to get laid by the time I'm 17? Something stupid like that. And I put my fingertips on it, and I waited. And I waited, and I waited. And 5 minutes later, it started moving on its own. It was answering every question I wanted an answer to. And it was starting to move so fast, and I was starting to get so scared that I took my hands off it, and I threw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Now, have you heard stories like that before?
I have.
What's moving it? What is moving it? Is it just your subconscious moving it? Or do you believe it's the devil?
Well, it doesn't have to be Ouija's a brand.
Right.
They're known as spirit boards.
Sure.
What it does is it opens up a portal. And this portal, what it does is it allows demonic spirits, entities, whatever it is, it allows them to enter. It gives them an opening to enter in, you know, this realm from another.
Does it have to be a Milton Bradley game? I mean, can you go out and just get...
No.
Can't you just get a glass, turn it upside down,
cut out some
letters, and put it on a table?
You could, yeah. You could. You can denounce God and have things, you know, things happen in your life. I've heard stories of that as well. But the spirit board specifically is a actual, I was looking for one that was buried the other night. We were looking for one that was buried in a in a home the other night, and we couldn't find it anywhere. We were in the room that it was used in many, many years ago, and what is moving it, we don't know for sure. None of what we do is proven.
Why were you even looking for it? Why wouldn't you just left it?
We wanted to get it out of there.
Oh, you just wanted to throw it out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a proper way for it to be disposed of, and that's not It's not something that I do. That would have been given to the Reverend Michael Schrader.
Okay.
He's a demonologist locally that works with supernatural investigators in Minnesota. That's how I was introduced to him anyway.
So was he at the house with the foreheads in the window? Because we kind of jumped off that.
No, he was not. No. That's just who I would call if I were to ever find anything like that.
So what became of that when you were in the house with the people you thought you seen in the window and the lights?
We caught some voices on our recording equipment later on. What became of it immediately after that was just the same type of behavior continued throughout the evening, and then there was a house blessing was done by someone that was far more advanced in the field than I was.
A priest?
Someone that was not a priest, but someone that was authorized by a clergyman to do house blessings.
Yes. Was it in St. Cloud? Because I got a friend of mine that saw some ghosts in St. Cloud. Was it in St. Cloud?
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
We'll eliminate that. So the EVPs, that's interesting. That's something anybody can do, really. If you have a digital recorder or an old standard tape recorder, you could just sit down in a dark room in your house or a supposedly haunted house.
You do want to be very careful with that, too.
Oh, really? Okay, what are the pitfalls of a digital recording ghost?
When you're doing that, you're also inviting... if there is a dark entity or any entity that you're not necessarily prepared to deal with, to speak with you and maybe attach itself to you, so you have to be protected, and you can look up on the internet on how to protect yourself do that. Wearing a cross is one way to do it. I use prayer.
I heard the Mormons have magic underwear.
Yeah.
Would that help?
If that's worked for them, then they should continue to do that.
So basically, whatever you believe in that you think is going to keep you protected, because you have a deep belief in whatever religion you're into, Judaism, Muslim, Christianity, what have you. Just any kind of talisman that you think will work. Is that?
I think you're on the right. I think you're on the right track, because there's a certain part of you that you don't want to give to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to protect that, and you have to protect yourself, and you have to sometimes involve whatever your higher power is. And if you're a Mormon and that's edible underwear, then that's what it is.
Yeah.
And not trying to put down Mormons, but that's what it is.
Sure.
Let me share with you.
Wait, before you do that
EVP story.
Right. I want to get to what you picked up on the EVPs. Those really fascinate me. Tell me a good EVP story.
I was listening to, I do a lot of EVP work,
okay.
where people do their own recordings, and then it's sent to me for analysis. And I've by far done a lot more of that than I have done anything else.
Okay.
And this is a comedy show. You've got to hear this.
This is comedy, but we're taking a left turn tonight. And we're going straight into hell with you, Matt.
We are. I was listening to an EVP, and a guy was missing his wife terribly.
Okay.
And he had been running a recorder, and he wanted it analyzed. And I was running it through. I have specialized software where I can adjust frequency, volume, things of that nature.
I have the same equipment.
Okay, so I like to use Audacity. And so the problem I was having was isolating sounds and trying to, you know, eliminate some of the other ones. And I could not get the pornography in the background. I could not eliminate that from this recording.
The pornography in the background.
I'm telling you, this was he was missing his wife, and I believe him because
So he was beaten off, you think?
He was missing his wife.
Well, Jesus. I mean, let me get this right. I got to paint the picture. So the guy's probably laying on his bed, naked, and he's got some porn going in the background to get him in the mood. And maybe he's, you know, yanking on the mule, and he has his digital recorder going. And he's asking questions while he's going at it with himself. And then he wants you to analyze this? Is that where we're going?
Yeah, and I couldn't, you know, I had a tough time bringing myself. This was a while back. I had a tough time bringing myself to the point where I you know, because I have to ask questions about what's going on in the environment. I had a really tough time asking myself, okay, what was that in the background? I was really hoping it was the neighbors. In fact, it was the television.
Right.
So
you threw that out, basically.
Yeah,
you couldn't help him.
I was able to eliminate that. But it was something that was rather disturbing that it came to mind when EVPs came up. It was something that just came to mind. So this house that we were talking about, when we played back the EVPs, I did hear in this house when the dogs refused to come back inside.
Okay.
There was, when I listened back on these EVPs, the children, the height... I would consider them to be children, and the frequency of their voice would suggest that.
You picked up kids.
Don't know. You know, kids and women have the same frequency, and so it is tough sometimes to tell. But
did you make out what they were saying?
Plus, there was a little bit of a whisper to it. Yes. I heard a couple of different ones. One was they're outside. We did have. I like to set up a static one, and by static I mean it sits in one place.
So you had one inside the house while you walked outside, and it was recording while you're out in the in between the outhouse and the main house.
Yeah, you could hear footsteps while we were outside,
and whatever it was mm-hmm. commenting that you guys had gone outside.
Yep. And there also, while we were back inside, we didn't hear this with our own ears, but we also heard while we were all inside, they're not coming back in. But we were all inside, so they were referring to the animals. So,
wow. Did you go into the history of the home? Did any kids die there?
I did. I did go over the history of the home, which I always do, there was no history of any children passing away on the property. There was no history of any tragedy on the property. It was all farmland. Now, was there potential history of? You know, the problem with Minnesota is that there is a lot of Native American burial mounds that have been covered.
Desecrated.
And farmed over.
Right.
But there was a definite problem with the animals. I think at one point here during the investigation. And
do you think the dogs chased him around all day long and the spirits were tuckered?
It could have been. I think there was definitely an attempt to draw us outside. I think something drew us outside, and I think that once we got out there and the lights went out, we happened to catch that, and we didn't catch that on film. We just happened to be standing around talking.
Wow.
But we were all looking at it, and not a single one of us had a brain in our head to fix a camera on it, because we were convinced the activity was coming from the outbuilding.
Right.
And then when the dog started barking mm-hmm. towards there, we looked, and it was just kind of all in one happening, but
split second.
Y'all
saw something, and then it was gone. I have a couple of questions that a few of my friends have sent in. One's from Ken in Burnsville.
Sure.
Are ghosts interested in having sex? Do you think ghosts have a need for sex still?
I think they have a need for bonding.
Okay.
Not bondage. I think they have a need for bonding.
Okay.
I don't think they have a sexual desire, but I don't know. The answer to that is we don't know that. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but I know that there's a definite need for closeness. You know, there was an instance where a guy was in his car,
right.
And his GPS came on in his car, and the GPS came on, and it sent him directly to his house. That's what the GPS came on, and the location was to his house.
Okay, all right, that's not unusual.
He got to his house, and his wife was in bed with another guy.
So, fucking?
Yeah.
He caught him, like, right in the act?
So,
fucking?
Yeah. And the GPS was not hooked up. I mean, it wasn't activated.
Oh, that's nuts. Did his dad just die or something, or a good friend?
There was no history of... There was no history of a recent passing or anything like that.
Wow.
It was a... The car was 6 months old, and I was unable to track down any information on the previous owner of the vehicle as far as that was concerned.
Here's another question. This one's from mm-hmm. Mitch and Carver.
Mm-hmm.
Are you stuck in one area as a ghost, or can you wander around a bit? I'm sure you don't know for sure, but I mean, speculating. What do you think?
No. That is a good question, and it depends. There's what's called a residual haunting, where a ghost is like a tape recorder, where it'll just do the same thing over and over again, and you'll see something. You'll see what we may have seen. Let's say, for instance, what we saw in this house,
the farmhouse.
That could have been something that happened 100 years ago, and it's something that it replays over and over again, and these are beings that are stuck there, and they just replay over and over again, and that's what's known as a residual haunt.
But those beings seemed conscious to me, if they're commenting about how you're outside now.
Correct. I'm using it as a for instance.
Right.
But some are able to move around. Those are known as intelligent spirits, and they can move around, and they can interact, and they can, they're able to decisions, so to speak. there's been reports of people remodeling their homes, and they changed the level of a home, and it looks like a spirit is actually levitating. But actually, what's happened is
there used to be a floor there, and that's where
there used to be a floor there, and that's where they walked. So yes and no. Some are stuck, and some are not. And as a paranormal investigator, what we try to do if you are stuck, we try to help you move on.
You said ghosts can follow you because you were warning about the digital recordings and the Ouija boards, that these things can stick with you and come back to your own house.
Yep. Yeah. You can get an attachment. There can be something that can be attached to you and follow you. People have tried to move from one house to another, and
like the Amityville possession or Amityville horror, right?
I guess that would be one example. Yeah, there's controversy on whether or not the Amityville horror was all for a movie deal or not. However, there are some very credible people that will tell you that wasn't true. Ed and Elaine Warren were the original paranormal investigators in the Amityville house after the DeFeo murders. Mm-hmm. And their nephew is a paranormal investigator as well. He's known as the Haunted Collector. I just got one of his books for Christmas. So that you could get something attached to you. Yes, if it feels comfortable around you, or if it feels like it can exploit you in some way. Yes,
all right.
It can attach itself to you.
Okay,
so,
I got another question here.
Mm-hmm.
This one is from Richie in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks, if you have a ghost stuck in your home that you need to get rid of, wouldn't it just be easier to call a Catholic priest? I mean, they seem to be the authority on exorcisms and whatnot.
It can be. The only problem is that a Catholic priest has to get permission from the archdiocese to do an exorcism. And an exorcism is done on a person. So, and then there's also multi-phases of an exorcism. I mean, you have the obsession, you'd have to look up exorcism and the different phases of exorcism.
I'm Catholic. We actually covered that in the fourth grade.
Okay.
How to do
so
your
you
own
would,
exorcism.
You know the difference between an exorcism and a house blessing?
I always thought an exorcism was... you know, you were possessed by some kind of demonic spirit, and then you had a priest come over, like in The Exorcist, and perform the rite of exorcism on you. But a priest usually comes to a home to bless it, like right after you bought it from Paul Landy in Indianapolis.
So, if you're able to get a priest to do that, sure. You can most certainly do that. Some people desire more answers than that. Some people want to know what it is, and some people want to know, is this my dad?
No.
Is there any clear-cut answer, though, Matt? I mean, do you believe in an afterlife? Do you believe in God? Or do you believe this is just all energy that gets trapped? Is there a God?
No.
Is there a devil? Or is it just energy?
My personal beliefs? I believe that my personal beliefs are that there is a God and that there is a devil.
Okay.
I don't walk into an investigation, or I don't review EVPs. I don't work any of my cases using my personal belief system as a barometer for how I do it. I use my personal beliefs as my system of protection. But yes, that's what I believe. As far as an afterlife and things of that nature, and spiritual beings, we're all spiritual beings, and we're all made up of energy. So it's a little bit of both. And I was just having a conversation with a fellow paranormal investigator about the near-death experiences where people die and then they come back to life. And one of the things I had mentioned is they're all the same, roughly.
Okay.
And you know, it's let's talk about Screaming Sam Kinison,
a comedian.
Yeah.
Did you run into the ghost of Sam Kinison?
No. But when he died, and I'll bring it to the current here real quick. But when he died, he was driving a car that I own. He was driving a 70s Trans Am, and he sobered up, and then he got killed by a drunk driver. You know, how
ironic.
Screwed up is that?
Yeah,
I know. And he was a reverend prior to that, so he had plenty of conversations with God. But he was having an argument with God when he was laying in the road, and his wife was there. And the paramedics came up when they got there. And prior to that, he was saying, "No, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go. No, I don't want to go." And then he said, "Okay, I'm ready now," and then he died.
Creepy.
So he was having a conversation
with something, right?
With something, and this is documented by his wife and by a paramedic. And everyone was sober at the scene, including Sam. So now there's a new device that paranormal investigators use called the Ghost Box.
Oh, I've seen the ghost box in use on your favorite show, Ghost Adventurers. Why don't you explain to everybody what a ghost box is?
Okay, what it is it's a radio, and you put speakers on it, and what it does is it scans through different radio channels randomly, it's believed that spirit is able to communicate via a radio frequency, and it will reply to your questions that way. And you'll know whether or not you're picking up radio show or not.
Okay.
You'll hear a consistent voice that's the same tone, whether it's a man or a woman.
Uh-huh.
It's going to give you a direct response to a direct question.
It's very, very interesting. I've seen them in use.
They are, and they're controversial because they are new. There aren't as much studies out there as there are on other equipment as yet.
Have you used one?
Yes, I have. But the day Robin Williams died, there's a guy on YouTube I watched. He picked up Robin Williams saying, "I'm waiting."
Picked him up where?
He picked him up on. He did a ghost box session.
Like in his Robin Williams apartment?
No, he just did it at his home in L.A. So at his own house in L.A. And he you can YouTube it, and he said, "I'm waiting," and you can hear, and it sounds like Robin Williams' voice. And I can't verify whether it's real or not, but all I'm saying is that in the belief system, "I'm waiting" would refer to, you're Catholic, it would refer to that period of time when you die where you're in
purgatory.
Yep, there you go.
Purgatory. We learned about that in sixth grade.
There you go.
So
Robin Williams was here in Minnesota shortly before he went back to L.A. and took his own life. So
crazy.
You know, it's quite crazy. So I was really interested in that. And,
so you bought one. You've tried it out. What kind of result did you get?
I don't personally use one.
Oh,
you won't. I've sat in on Ghost Box sessions. I don't personally use one on my investigations because I just need to study it further. I don't have anything against them. I'm a real stickler for profession, so to speak, that's unproven, yet I'm kind of real fact-based.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever sat in on a ghost beatbox session?
I haven't. That would be interesting. Let's say Sir Mix-a-Lot passed away.
No, like I think one of the Fat Boys are dead, and they were good at that.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. I haven't done that.
I got another question for you.
Sure, absolutely.
This one's from Paul in Indianapolis.
Sure.
Is it possible to have sex with a ghost? Is it possible? Have you ever heard of anything like that? He's wondering.
I have not heard of anything like that. I wouldn't think that would be possible, but then again, you know, I've seen some weird stuff, heard some weird stuff, and, you know, that EVP that I told you about.
Sure.
Maybe that's what that guy was trying to do.
Maybe.
So,
tell us,
you know,
your scariest experience to wrap it up. Your scariest experience where you almost thought about, you know what, fuck this. It's interesting. It was fun up until this point where I've just got to, I call it a wrap. This is too frightening. I don't completely understand what's going on, and it's, you know, fuck it. Have you had anything like that happen yet?
I guess the one that had me the most shaken was when I saw myself. It wasn't at the time. It was on a review when I was reviewing myself, and I was, you know, I never bought the orb theory, you know,
What do you
orbs.
Mean by reviewing yourself? You had a video camera set up.
Well,
and you were watching.
Everybody thinks that the fun and all the glamour and the big deal is in the going out and with the devices and the cameras and all that. That's only a very, very small part of it. I mean, there's really literally hours and hours spent sitting in front of your computer and reviewing audio and video of yourself and other people and on video and audio and going over what you did.
So what scared you?
And I was surrounded by small balls of light.
Somebody took a picture of it.
It was live footage. It was recorded footage.
Okay, so you didn't notice the balls of light?
No.
Until you got home and looked at the video.
Right.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And I didn't feel anything. I didn't notice anything. There was nothing picked up audibly. And that was... I almost hung it up.
Were you getting EVPs at the same time that the balls were surrounding you?
No. And I didn't have... I always have one in my hand, too. I always have an audio recorder in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't getting anything. And the only thing I came to a conclusion later on that it was... It had to have been something positive that was surrounding me. And that there was no need for anything to be said because it was just something that was surrounding me that was positive, but they were orbs, but they were
They were gently moving, and they were surrounding me. And so it was during what I call the meat and potatoes, which is the evidence review. And I saw that, and I pushed my chair back, and I just about had enough.
That would have scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I would have been done. That would have been it.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, we're getting near the end here. Would you like to plug anything? Where can people go to watch any of this footage or you know, listen to it if it's just an EVP? Is it on YouTube? Can we find it there?
Well, I do a Periscope every Sunday at 5 p.m. Central Time at Matt Gesso on Periscope. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Gesso.
And how do you spell Gesso? That's J-E-S-S-O?
J-E-S-S-O.
Okay.
As far as evidence, my Tumblr is in its infancy right now. So it's, I just set up on my Tumblr. I just set up a Tumblr. The only thing I put on my Tumblr as yet, and that's Matthew_Gesso. That just has weathering the storm, and that's what I do to protect myself when I go on investigations, and that's where I will be posting everything.
Finally, another reason to look at Tumblr, except for other than to look at porn.
Right? Yeah, that's because I haven't set up a website as yet, and every time I look at a website, I get a little disenchanted with their service.
It's tough stuff. Well, Matt, would you like to hang on? It's time to get to what did I learn today? What did I learn today on the podcast? Well, Matt, here's what I've learned today. Mm-hmm. I've learned that I think ghosts are real based on my conversations with you. We've all learned to stay away from Ouija boards. Don't touch Ouija boards. Don't make your own Ouija board. Keep the Ouija boards on the shelf at Target. What else have I learned? I've learned that you don't want to go out with a digital recorder and play amateur ghost detective without wearing some kind of protective religious gear. You know, whatever it is that you believe in, have some protection with you. I've also learned that what you see on TV isn't necessarily reality. That a lot of ghost hunting and ghost scientific work is spent at home in front of the computer, going through hours and hours and hours of data until you find something that you can use. And I've learned that you don't get paid to do it. So if you're going out to start this stuff, looking to get rich like your boys on Sci-Fi or the Travel Channel, it's probably not going to happen. So this is going to be on your dime. Matt, did you learn anything?
I just wanted to add, remember, there is no such thing as an expert. And be careful of those that say that they are.
There's no experts out there, kids. Matt, any chance I could come along with you on one of these ghost explorations?
On a case-by-case basis, Mike, we could talk about that.
I would love to do it. So there you have it, kids. Thanks a lot for listening. Have yourselves a great rest of the week, and if something goes bump in the night, look up Matt Gesso, J-E-S-S-O, on Twitter. That's at Matt Gesso. You can get a hold of Matt Gesso with all your ghost problems. Thanks a lot for listening, and go ahead and take it away, Mitch.
Thanks, Mike. Well, that show was certainly something. I'm Mitch, executive producer of Wisecracking with Winter. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of Mike, email him at wisecrackingwithwinter@yahoo.com. If you're into Facebook, check out our Wisecracking with Winter fan page or follow us on Twitter at @GetWisecracking. Make sure to listen and rate the show on iTunes and check us out on Google Play Music.